I always love this reading from Abraham, or about Abraham. He sees these strangers passing the tent, and he rushes out to them and begs them to let him serve them. Hospitality was a big thing in the Jewish tradition, and it should be a big thing in our lives as well. You know, we're all, unfortunately, rather selfish. Amen? We think more about ourselves. And Abraham's, you know, the secret of life is service. I read a quote from Albert Schweitzer the other day, and it said, "I don't know what your destiny will be, but the only ones that will really be happy are the ones who have sought and found the way to serve." Isn't that interesting? And isn't it true? That's where our happiness comes from. That's where our satisfaction, that's where our peace comes from serving others. Parents experience it in their children. They experience a lot of other things too. But when they have served and they have brought joy and happiness to others. And we should have a little bit of that attitude of Abraham, I think, in our approach, to see others in terms of their need. Abraham saw these travelers, and travelers in those days, it was a pretty difficult task. They, you know, you were dirty, or you're hungry. They didn't have, Dairy Queen and things like that. So he responded to their need. And they were blessed. He was blessed. Sarah was blessed with the promise of a child. Now, we can't expect that. But the point is that what we give is what we get. When we make others happy, we share in the happiness. But we need to go out. We need to seek it. We need to seek the ways to serve others. Everybody has needs we can meet. Amen? The need for kindness, encouragement, gratitude, patience. Just to listen to another person is a way of validating their dignity. We're also busy. We're not very good listeners, are we? In the gospel, we have the beautiful story of Martha and Mary. Martha busy about many things. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. We've had many, though there are many different ways of interpreting this. And, you know, it's a story that kind of grabs you and affects you one way or the other. A lot of people are upset by it. They think Martha's getting a bad deal. Here's who's going to serve if Martha doesn't serve and take care of, you know, and even talking about the hospitality. Sometimes the interpretation has been given that, you know, Martha represents the active life, the active men, those who are working out in the world and serving God, and Mary represents the contemplative. You know, sitting and reflecting on the Word of God. And then Jesus says to Martha, "Mary has chosen the better part." We sometimes interpreted that to mean as saying that, well, the contemplative life is better or more important than the active ministry life. And we have our contemplative orders, and they're important, and prayer and things like that. But I'm not sure that that's the best interpretation of that. What I think it does tell us is the necessity of listening. Listening before we act. To listen to God in our lives and to discern God's will for us in acting in accordance with that will. Sometimes we go off doing all sorts of things. It even worked in our relationships with one another. We do all sorts of things for people and we say, well, they don't seem to appreciate it. Well, did we ever listen to see what they needed? Or are we just acting, you know, because this is what we want to do, this is what I want to do for you. You know, we need to listen and listen to God in our actions. Another approach to this story is the idea of the one and the many. You know, Martha, Jesus says, "Martha, you're busy about many things." And Mary has chosen the better part. The one, and in Latin that is translated actually the unum necessarium, which means the one thing necessary. Mary has chosen the one thing necessary. And Martha is scattered about, and we're kind of that way, aren't we? We're about many things. But if we listen to the Lord, have we learned the one thing necessary, which is to see that all of our actions, everything that we do, is focused on one thing, giving glory to God, doing God's will. Do we see what we do, or do we get up in the morning and kind of look over our day and we just say we're overwhelmed? You know, it's interesting. Doing is so important. We're not a very contemplative society, are we? We're all about it. You ask somebody how are they, and what do we tell them? Everything we're doing. Well, I'm doing this, I'm going there, I'm doing that. And so we need to focus and to prepare ourselves and to see that everything we do in some way contributes and leads to the glory of God and is God's will for us. But we can only do that by listening. As I say, we're not very good listeners. There's a third interpretation, which is kind of interesting. N.C. Wright, one of the Anglican theologian, suggests that, you know, one of the main thrusts of Jesus' ministry was overturning conventions. You know, the ordinary way of doing things. In Jesus' attitude, talking to, you know, dining with sinners and Pharisees and all of these things. It was unheard of. Reaching out and touching unclean people, you know, the lepers and things like that. He completely turns upside down the ordinary conventions of his time. And one of the things that was most significant about Jesus was his inclusion of women in his ministry. Women didn't really have any existence in that culture. We don't appreciate that. We still complain a lot about it, there's still an inequality. But in those days, you just didn't talk to women. Here he talked to the Samaritan woman. Even talking to Samaritans was unheard of for a Jew. He forgave the woman caught in adultery. The two women at the grave were the first to announce and to discover the resurrection. So he is turning conventions upside down. And N.C. Wright suggests that this parable or this encounter between Martha and Mary is the same thing. In the sense that in the culture of the time, when someone came to visit, the woman was expected to what? To do all to prepare the meal, to all the task of hospitality and welcoming the person. But, and the men in that culture then would gather in the parlor or whatever they called the room, and they would sit around and discuss, and if they had an important visitor, an important rabbi or even a Pharisee, they would sit at his feet and listen to him, teach them. And here in this story, we have Mary assuming that position. See, and it wasn't a position of condescension, but it was the position of a disciple, the attitude of a disciple, to listen to the teacher. And Martha may have been more upset with Mary placing herself in that position as the role of men, as she was in the extra work that she had to do. And so we see, but what Jesus is doing is inviting Mary and inviting all of us to full discipleship. You know, St. Paul, of course, Luke was worked with St. Paul. St. Paul said in one of his epistles, now in Christ there are no distinctions. There are no longer male or female. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer a difference. That in Christ we are one. And Luke's gospel reflects this, and that we are, all of us, are invited into that full discipleship with Jesus. And so let us think about ourselves listening to God's word, discerning how we are to live. God speaks to us differently. You know, I was thinking, listening to his word, sometimes, you know, we come to the church and we hear the gospel, we hear the readings, and our reaction is, oh, I've heard that before. I know that story. I could tell the story. But are we listening with our hearts to hear what God is wanting to say to us in our particular circumstances from these readings? It's a sadness when I hear people say to me, well, I go to Mass, but I don't get anything out of it. Again, are we going with an attitude, the right attitude of hearing God speak to us through his word, of hearing God speak to us through the community, through one another? And are we open to respond? And that's the challenge, that we see all that we do and everything in every way as fulfilling God's will for us and giving glory to God.